Good morning, everyone. My name's Peter. We're going to be reading today from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Good morning. My name is Richie. I'm a pastor here at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church. So good to see you. Well, I wonder for you what you would say are some of your most joyful moments in life. For me, it's hard to pick one most joyful moment. There's just a lot of things I look back on fondly. I remember we had childhood holidays every year down at Evans Head. That was just 2 weeks of pure bliss in January. Good friends, beach, card games, long cricket matches, which was right up my alley. Countless laughs. Or I remember another childhood memory, like Christmases as a kid. Like how good were these? You know, sometimes I'd be awake at 3 a.m., not be able to go back to sleep. I was exhilarated by what was coming. Or I remember finishing school, that moment when I walked out of the exam room. What a moment. Relief, joy, how good. Or I remember my wedding day. I remember, you know, waiting at the front and I wait. And eventually the bridal car pulls up and finally I see Jasmine. Like I turn the corner and I see her face, and in that moment my heart drops as she begins to walk down the aisle toward me. What joy. Or with the kids, there's, you know, it's hard to pick a single moment, a time of joy. Everything from that first hug to the countless little pleasures of chats and games and hugs and stories. There's been a lot of joyful moments. And it'd be cool sometime to hear your lists as well. But do you know Jesus was a very joy-filled person? I'm not sure how much you've thought about this or even how you picture Jesus. You might not have many views on Jesus at all, or maybe you might think of Jesus as a wise person or as a loving person or even as a miraculous person. But however you think of Jesus, you mustn't miss that Jesus was a joyous person. He was bubbling, bursting with joy. So back in Hebrews 1, we're told he was anointed with an oil of gladness beyond his companions. Basically, it's saying he was more happy than everyone else around him. And when Jesus speaks about his own joy in John chapter 15, he says it's so big, it's big enough to fill all his followers with joy as well. In fact, this was one of the biggest criticisms of Jesus in his day. The religious leaders said, Jesus, you and your followers are too happy. Like, what a reason to be hated for. Like, you're too happy. You don't go about mourning and fasting as you should. But that didn't stop Jesus. Jesus was a very joy-filled person. And the thing we're going to see today is that even on the first Good Friday, Jesus had joy in view. Even as he went to his death, he was being motivated by joy. And when you realize this, and when you realize what he was joyful about, well, what it'll do, it'll put like a bomb under your perception of Jesus. Or maybe we're talking about joy, you could say it'll put like a giant party popper under your perception of Jesus, of yourself, of the world around you. And you'll begin to see things afresh, and you'll even notice joy filling your own heart. But before we get there, let's look more closely at the joy Jesus had in view as he went to the cross. I see our sort of key text or verses for today. It's really just a few words from Hebrews 12 that was read out before. It says this, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." That's the key verse. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." See, that's what Jesus did. He endured the cross. Enduring the cross is very different from enduring a marathon race. It's different from enduring a boring sermon. It's different from enduring a hard day's work. No, he endured the greatest torment, shame, and anguish humanly possible. He endured betrayal by a friend, denial by his disciple. He endured unjust trial in the dark hours of the night. He endured mocking and assault by Roman soldiers. And finally, he endured public crucifixion in front of everyone, hung up to die in place of his enemies. Jesus endured the most difficult, most embarrassing, least righteous, most unfitting anguish any human has faced or will. But why did Jesus go through that? Why did he come down from heaven for this? Why did he not fight back, defend his case? Why did he allow himself to be crucified? Well, the answer is because of the great joy his pain was achieving, the joy set before him. Jesus says in John chapter 16, it's a little bit like the birth of a child. This is what he says, it's a little bit like the birth of a child. The birthing mum goes through anguish and pain and agony, yet that pain results in a precious child. Anguish leads to joy. See, Jesus endured agony for joy. Even in his sorrow and suffering, joy is what's driving him. So maybe you might imagine Jesus enduring the cross out of duty. He's doing it because he has to, or it's the only way, or his father has said so. Even you might think of it as some form of sort of cosmic child abuse where he's forced to, where he's compelled to. But it's not just from duty, it's from joy. Jesus willingly goes there and willingly stays there. The pain's so great, he wishes there was another way, yet he wants to be there. He wouldn't be anywhere else. He gladly bore that burden for joy. But what's the joy? What's the joy that Jesus' suffering is achieving? What's the joy that it's leading, that it's bringing, his suffering is bringing? Well, there's a clue there at the end of verse 2, and it's got to do with sitting down. Sitting down, that's right. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, we sit down when the work's done. I love sitting down after a hard day's work in the garden on those rare occasions when I get out there and do something, you know, the mowing, the whippersnipping, the hedge trimming, and I love sitting down on the deck, looking out and going, oh, how good. Or on a whole nother level altogether, think of the pleasure of sitting down with a newborn child, the labor over and the child in your arms. In the book of Hebrews, when we read, when it talks about Jesus sitting down, Jesus sitting down has to do with him completing his hard work. The priests back in the day stood all the time. They stood working, making animal sacrifice after sacrifice, which could never restore the people to God. But Jesus made a once-for-all sacrifice of his own body. He died on our behalf, and then he sat down because the work was done. He'd done everything needed to restore us to God. See, the joy that motivated Jesus, the joy that drove him to endure the cross, was the joy of restoring us to his Father. It was the joy of taking away everything that separates us from him. It was the joy of being able to sit down next to his Father, to lay back and say, all the work is done. I've died for my people. My pain has achieved their perfection. They're forgiven. They're restored. They're secure. It's a joy that Stu read about earlier at the beginning, the joy of the shepherd, the joy of Jesus the shepherd who finds his precious lost sheep and carries it home on his shoulders filled with happiness. It's the joy that explodes in heaven when a wayward heart turns to Jesus. How amazing is it that Jesus has so much joy about us? About how amazing is it that Jesus has so much joy about me, about you? Joy in your well-being, joy in your good, joy in bringing you close to Him. I think there's very few people who take a joy in us and what happens to us. We live pretty self-sufficient, individualistic sort of lives. You know, other people might care about us, maybe they're interested in us, but really will they be filled with joy about what happens to us? I see, because they don't love us quite the way that Jesus loves us. His love for us is so big. And as we come to the end, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're not sure if you're a follower of Jesus, it's really great that you're here, great to have you. And can I invite you today to simply reflect on Jesus' joy? Reflect on the joy that he had in his life. Reflect on the joy he had in mind as he went to the cross. And reflect on the joy he has in restoring people to himself. It's quite amazing the effect the joy of another person can have on us and on our joy. You may also want to come along to our series over the next term called Come and See. It's all about discovering who Jesus is. Each week we'll unpack part of a biography of Jesus written by the Apostle John, who was a personal friend and an eyewitness of Jesus. And now if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus, it's so great that you're here as well. And can I invite you today to delight in Jesus' joy over you? See, Jesus is absolutely thrilled that you are his. During the week, I was driving down Cynthia Wilson, and I was thinking about how I wasn't worthy of God's love, how I was thinking about how I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I was feeling a bit sad about that, and of course I don't, it's true. But I'd been thinking over this talk and over Hebrews 12, and in that moment I thought about Jesus' joy in having me as his own. Like that he's joyful that I'm his, he's joyful that I'm forgiven. That was such a comfort. See, Jesus is overjoyed that you're forgiven. Jesus is overjoyed that you're secure in him. We often speak about Jesus' love for us. Yet I reckon there's something really valuable in speaking about and remembering Jesus' joy. Because I think joy is the pinnacle of love, really. Like the fact that Jesus takes joy in our forgiveness and our salvation. The fact that he does that, it's like a big flashing light assuring us that he loves us. So this Good Friday, fix your eyes on him who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Father, we are delighted that you and your Son celebrate and rejoice when we turn to you. Father, it is amazing that Jesus endured the cross and went through all of that for the sake of us and for the sake of our joy and his joy in us being with him. Father, we pray that you would blow us away with Jesus' joy as he endured the cross, that we might be filled with joy too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.